You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker here for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today. Actually, I'm coming to you behind the microphones here once again at WMIE and WWBC, where I was for some 21 years here as the former station manager here. And I'm here at the tail end here of this week recording this opening. So you're going to hear something. You're going to hear a sermon now out of the book of Revelation. This is back to chapter 1, and it's called Behold, He's Coming in the Clouds. So we'll hear this today and tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. Lord willing, we'll be back. Actually, Monday, we will be back with the starting with the fall fundraiser here, the offering, live here Monday morning. But here in the meantime, we're in chapter 1. I invite you guys to church this weekend. We'd love to see you this Sunday morning at 10:30. We're in the book of Romans, and we're looking this week at chapters 2 and 3, where it says, "Now the righteousness of God has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." That's where we're going to be. The Apostle Paul's throwing everyone under the bus so that everyone can see and understand that they are a sinner and that they are in need of grace and salvation and mercy and forgiveness. And there's only one place we can go to receive all of those, and that is to the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. We would love to see you. Here we go. This is Thursday's program. We'll conclude on Friday's program. Behold, He's coming in the clouds.
Boy, this is great. We got some people visiting for the first time in a while, and we're starting a new book today. Probably one of my favorite books, but I say that every week, right? Oh, this is my favorite book. No, oh, this is my favorite book. I'm addicted to the Word. I can't help it. Revelation, one of my favorite books, and from the comments I've heard from many of you, one of your favorites as well. My daughter as well can't wait for the podcast each and every week. I want to say hi to her, Rachel, in New Jersey, who's waiting for this afternoon's podcast. Speaking of her, I will be performing her wedding on the 16th of June, and I'll be driving, heading out of town here for 8 or 9 days, and taking some time off and going up there to spend some time doing that. I really look forward to that. So, okay, the book of Revelation. For the most part, a bad book to build your doctrine on. Except for the first three chapters, which will give us excellent doctrine, as you're going to find out today. And will enable us to see a side of the Lord that we don't normally see in the Gospels. The book of Revelation is the only apocalyptic book in the New Testament. It's the only prophetic book in the New Testament. At least the only one received by the church as being genuine. The book of Enoch wasn't received by the church. The apocalypse of Peter, maybe, wasn't accepted by the church. This also was the last book to be recognized as being legit, was the book of Revelation. And since that is the case, it's the book with the fewest copies. Reason being, this book blew people's minds away. So people doubted its authenticity. And since that is the case, it's the book with the most transmission errors in it as well. At least in the King James Version. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. The Bible is without error, but copies aren't without error. I, for instance, I'm a Bible translator. Many of you have my Bible, the EMTV. I've gone through 8 or 9 editions and corrections. Sometimes there's a comma missed. Sometimes a period is missing. The greatest mistake I ever made in my Bible was in my Old Testament when I was updating this unfortunate 3-letter word for donkey. If you know what that is, it's in the Bible, I can say it, right? Uses the word ass for donkey. So I changed, and I told my computer program to take every time, it was Microsoft Word, every time you see the word ass, to change it to donkey. But I forgot to tell my computer to look for whole words only. So anytime it saw ASS, it changed it to donkey. And right before I went to get it published, my Bible read like this. It came to Padonkey one day on the 3rd of April. Or else the Philistine said to Moses, "You cannot Padonkey through our land." Or God says to Moses, "On the 14th day of the month will be the Lord's Padonkey over." Padonkey over. You see, God never promised my Bibles without error. Okay, go on eBay when I get home. Don't look it up now. Look up the Wicked Bible on eBay. The Wicked Bible is the King James Version Bible of 1612. But Robert Barker, the king's printer, made a mistake in it. And he had in his Bible, "Thou shall commit adultery." Right? They sell for tens of thousands of dollars, and Robert Barker got thrown into the Tower of London for doing it. "Thou shall commit adultery." So when I tell you there's errors in what you read, don't flip out and all of a sudden become an atheist. God never promised my translation is without error. Nor did he promise this King James Version is without error. It's the original spoken words by God that are without error. They're perfect, but they're lost. And this is where my Bible translation I really like. It's called the Majority Text. It's taken from a majority of every manuscript ever written. Because the odds are you can find the original autograph spoken by God when you look at a majority of every manuscript ever found. Makes sense, right? Okay, so let me move on here. You understand when I say the King James Version has errors, minor errors in it as we go along. Some people aren't going to accept that, but when Erasmus compiled his Greek text, Erasmus was a man, a Dutch man, in 1516, he compiled a Greek text that the King James translators used to make their Bible. Now, when he compiled his, there was one Greek manuscript of the book of Revelation for him to use. And in that, most of the last two chapters were missing. So we had to use the Latin and retranslate the Latin back into Greek. Okay, that's why you see so many, if you have a good Bible, that's why you'll see so many footnotes in the book of Revelation encouraging you to look at another translation. My translation, which I'll use for a lot of this, it's almost 100% the same as the King James and all 26 other New Testament books, but it's different in the book of Revelation because no one thought Revelation was legit because it blew people's minds. So no one copied it. That's why there's the problems with that. Since this is a book of prophecy, not many people want to study it either. Now, God knew it would be that way, which is why verse 3 promises us a blessing if you do study it. No other book in the Bible promises that except this one. Because if you get this book right, you'll be doing all right. Right? Revelation 1:7, if you get this right, you'll be doing all right. It says, "Behold, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him." You get that right, you're doing all right. Revelation 20, it says we're all going to stand before, well, there, the great white throne judgment, where everyone's going to stand naked and open and bare on account to him to whom we have to give ourselves and make an account for. You get that right, you'll be doing all right. When you understand you're going to stand before God at the end of the age, whether or not it's at the great white throne or whether or not it's at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, either way, you got to stand before him at some time, no matter where it is. Get that right, you'll be doing all right. How about this one? Don't take the mark of the beast, because if you take it, you can't repent from it. If you take the mark of the beast, there's no repentance. Get that right, you're doing all right. And that's why, some of the reasons why he says, you're blessed if you read it. Because you better know this book and the things that are in it. Revelation, written by John the Apostle. Written from the island of Patmos. We'll find out shortly how he ended up there. When written? Around 96 AD. Revelation is a symbolic book, but the symbols many times are not too difficult to interpret. For instance, I saw a beast, or I saw someone with two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. We can figure that out, right? Who's the lamb in the Bible? Right? Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. All the way back to the scapegoat, back in the Old Testament. That points to Jesus too. Laid all of our iniquities upon him, the scapegoat. Or take the other goat that was slaughtered. Or the Passover lamb. All references of the lamb ultimately speak of Christ. But this one speaks like a dragon. Who's the dragon in the Bible? If you know the word, the symbols aren't that difficult to understand. When they are hard to understand, an angel, we read, the angel says, behold, I have come to give you understanding. Not that difficult to understand. Lastly, Revelation does not go in order from chapters 1 to 22. But John shows us a vision or an event all the way through beginning to end. We see the end of the age in chapters 6, 7, 11, 13, 14, 19, 20, 21, and 22. So here's a little tidbit of information. When you see the end of the world in chapter 6, he ain't going in order. Simple enough, right? He sees the vision all the way through to the end. All right, that's it for my introduction. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We do believe and we know your word is perfect and pure in its transmission. We ask for you, Lord. We pray your word back to you here this morning. You promise us a blessing today as we read, hear, and keep the things written in this book because the time is short. We know your word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Lead us and guide us. Speak to us today, each and every week. Speak to us the truth. Show us where we lack, what one thing we lack, so we can change and make it right. Reveal yourself to us. Bless us as you plan on blessing us as we spend time in this book of Revelation. We pray your best blessings upon us each and every week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants the things which must shortly come to pass or take place. And he sent it and he signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Verse 3, blessed is he. Look at that. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and who keep the things which are written therein. for the time is near. Okay, number one, we're going through this outline too, if you're following. Blessed is he who reads. But not just read, a lot of people just read. Atheists read. Scoffers read. Agnostics read. Naysayers read. You can't just read. You have to have, number two, ears to hear. Or it doesn't matter what you read. I don't know how many times Stephen Hawking read the Bible. If you can't hear it, all is lost. You got to have ears to hear. The atheist, scoffer, unbeliever, naysayer, and agnostics don't have ears to hear. They peruse the book of Revelation looking for discrepancies and loopholes. Listen to this verse, John 8:47. Jesus speaking, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. If you're not of God, you can't hear what I'm saying to you. He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore don't hear them, because you're not of God. So blessed is he who, number one, reads. Blessed is he who, number two, hears. Blessed is he who, number three, keeps. The word means to guard, like a sentinel guarding a prisoner. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this book for yourself and for all generations, and from all evil people that want to confiscate it or silence it or change it. You see, you can read all you want, and you've got ears to hear, but how are you doing at keeping it? What do you do? What will you do when they knock on the door at your house and say, give it up? People are hard at work as we speak, trying to have your Bible confiscated. If you don't work at keeping this word the way I see it, you're no different than the one that doesn't have ears to hear. Meatloaf is wrong. That old singer that says two out of three ain't bad. Two out of three ain't good enough. So that's keeping it on a national level in the world today. Like we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Earnestly contending for the faith. There's also keeping this word on a personal level. That is, living by the book. My former neighbor, Dwight, had greener grass than I had. And I used to ask him why his grass was greener than mine. And he'd say to me, it's right living, son. That used to be his answer. Now his answer is, well, Darren's cutting my lawn now. That's why his grass was green. Well, he was cutting ours too. Blessed is he. And blessed is she who's living right. Blessed is he who's keeping the words of this book. Blessed is he who stands up for the word of God. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. That's what Jesus says. Blessed is he who calls sin, sin. Blessed is he who repents daily. Blessed is he who tries to live right. Blessed is he that'll repent of the same sin twice or three times and understand that God is patient and long-suffering with you. He'll keep forgiving you time and time again. There's going to come a time where you're going to get over this. Let me encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up repenting about the same thing. And lastly, before we go home, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Like we used to be, way back in the day. Blessed is he that readeth and those that hear the words of this prophecy and that keep the things written therein. For the time is at hand. All right, next up he says, the time is at hand. Well, how is that? How can the time be at hand? What does he mean by that? Let me read it to you. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 9. Acts, chapter 1, verse 9. Actually, when they asked Jesus, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and seasons the Father has put in his own power, but you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye saw him go up into heaven." That is what made this the last hour. That event right there. And that, once the Lord left here and returned to his rightful place, all of this world has been on high alert ever since. Ever since. His fingers on the trigger ever since that happened. That is what put this into the last hour. That is what enables the Apostle John to say in 1 John 2:18, "Little children, it is the last hour." Once he went up and they craned their necks looking up, that is what put this into the last hour. It's all the same day to him. Why bet your soul and guess wrong? What do we need, batteries? I said, why bet your soul and guess wrong? Read Matthew 24 and 25. Read what happens if you're not looking for him. He's coming a second time to all those that look for him. Is that you? What's the master going to find you doing when he comes back? John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. I'm in verse 4. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, and the rulers over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us, my Bible says, to him who loves us and washed us. Get it? Love is presence, present tense, washed is past tense. Loves you now. He washed you in the past. His love is a present active participle. It always goes on. Eating, drinking, sleeping, biking, swimming, and loving. That is him loving you. It's a present active participle. It's got ing on the end of it. Washed is in the past. You've been washed. You've been sanctified. It's already done. He's not going to wash you again. You already have the victory. You've already been washed. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood. Up next, the Trinity in the greeting. Notice, from him who is actually the name of God back in the Old Testament, where it says, greetings from the being, he who is. All right, he who is what? Nope, he who is. He told Moses, ego eimi ho om, I am the being. Before Abraham was, what did Jesus say? I am. And he's the Logos. I love that. It's where we get our word ology. Christology, geography, geology, anthropology. He's theology. He's everything. He is I am. And that's the greeting here. Greetings from he who is. Not, you don't even need an antecedent there. It's he who is. And greetings from the Holy Spirit. This note from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. The seven spirits probably refers to the Holy Spirit, though it's an unusual way to refer to the third person of the Trinity. I think perhaps Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2 might shed some light on this. Let me read this to you. Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, capital B, shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's one. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Maybe that's what he meant by that. I've translated that as the sevenfold Spirit of God. Seven being perfect. Number of perfection. And lastly here, greetings from the Son of God. Verse 5, greetings from Jesus Christ, who is. What a great place to build doctrine, isn't this? Greetings from Jesus Christ, who is. All right, who is Jesus? Tell us more about him. Number one, he's the faithful witness. Number two, he's the firstborn from the dead. Number three, he's the prince or the ruler of the kings of the earth. Okay, let's start with number one. Witness to what? I can think of three significant things. Number one, he's the witness to the existence of heaven. John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's a witness.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, John, today let's follow up yesterday's topic about qualifications for pastoral ministry with this question. Assuming a man is morally qualified to be a pastor, what are the qualifications in terms of skills or abilities? What does the Bible say about that?
There's actually only one skill in all the lists of qualifications for ministry, and it's the word didaktikos in the Greek, skilled in teaching. I would understand that because what is the role of a shepherd? Feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. That's what Scripture says. Feed the flock of God over which he's given you oversight. As Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Shepherds are, by nature, feeders of the flock. And consequently, if we're going to distribute the food, which is the word of God, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If we're going to be feeders of the sheep, we have to be skilled in teaching. That is the only qualification. In fact, the moral qualifications for deacons are identical to those of elders, essentially. The difference is elders teach, skilled teachers. And what do we mean by teachers? We mean those who can accurately disseminate the Scripture, opening the Word of God and giving the people understanding of it. It's not about entrepreneurship. It's not about personality. It's not about hype. It's not about showmanship. It's not about marketing style. It's about being a skilled teacher of the Word of God, morally qualified.
You're listening to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. If you'd like more in-depth teaching, go to MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Portions of WMIE's Broadcasting Day are underwritten by Treasure Your Landscape. Treasure Your Landscape is a licensed and insured family business based in Brevard County with many years of experience in the landscaping business. They always work hard to gain your utmost satisfaction. They bring passion and proficiency to every project with a commitment to impeccable service. Treasure Your Landscape, available at 321-749-1432. They are a comprehensive hub for all outdoor space enhancement needs. Their services include the installation of premium artificial turf, carefully designed putting greens, meticulous landscaping services, an expert paver.